Welcome to Sunday Commentary, a weekly program designed to break open the Sunday Scripture readings. Join us as we listen to God's Word and seek to grow in our love and understanding for the good news in our lives. And now, Sunday Commentary with Kevin Doran and Carla Wehrman.
The Liturgical Scripture Readings for the 20th Sunday in Ordinary Time. A reading from the book of Jeremiah. In those days, the princes said to the king, "Jeremiah ought to be put to death. He is demoralizing the soldiers who are left in the city and all the people by speaking such things to them. He is not interested in the welfare of our people, but in their ruin." King Zedekiah answered, "He is in your power." For the king could do nothing with them. And so they took Jeremiah and threw him into the cistern of the prince Malchiah, which was in the quarters of the guards, letting him down with ropes. There was no water in the cistern, only mud, and Jeremiah sank into the mud. Abed-Melech, a court official, went there from the palace and said to him, "My lord king, these men have been at fault in all they have done to the prophet Jeremiah, casting him into the cistern. He will die of famine on the spot, for there is no more food in the city." Then the king ordered Abed-Melech, the Cushite, to take these three men along with him and draw the prophet Jeremiah out of the cistern before he should die. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The responsorial psalm, "Lord, come to my aid."
Lord, come to my aid.
I have waited for the Lord, and he stooped toward me.
Lord, come to my aid.
The Lord heard my cry. He drew me out of the pit of destruction, out of the mud of the swamp. He set my feet upon a crag. He made firm my steps.
Lord, come to my aid.
And he put a new song into my mouth, a hymn to our God. Many shall look on in awe and trust in the Lord.
Lord, come to my aid.
Though I am afflicted and poor, yet the Lord thinks of me. You are my help and my deliverer. O my God, hold not back.
Lord, come to my aid.
A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Brothers and sisters, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us rid ourselves of every burden and sin that clings to us, and persevere in running the race that lies before us, while keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, the leader and perfecter of faith. For the sake of the joy that lay before him, he endured the cross, despising its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider how he endured such opposition from sinners, in order that you may not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "I have come to set the earth on fire, and how I wish it were already blazing. There is a baptism with which I must be baptized, and how great is my anguish until it is accomplished. Do you think that I have come to establish peace on the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, a household of five will be divided, three against two and two against three. A father will be divided against his son, and a son against his father. A mother against her daughter, and a daughter against her mother. A mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
I'd like to welcome everyone to the 20th Sunday in Ordinary Time, and I would like to welcome two of my youngest children, Colleen and Eamon, to our commentary today.
Glad to be here.
We snuck in through the back door.
Give you a mic and what happens? Well, before we start our commentary notes today, we do have a feast day.
Yes, one that you might not have heard before. It is St. John Eudes. His feast day is August 19th. He was born in Normandy, France, on November 14th, 1601, as the son of a farmer. He was ordained in 1625 at the age of 24, and his life was dedicated to fighting the heresy of Jansenism. which claims, the heresy claims, that only a select few were predestined for salvation. In 1643, at the age of 42, he founded the Congregation of Jesus and Mary, the Eudists, at Canaan. So
it gives us a wonderful opportunity to learn about a new saint.
Yes.
Exactly. Great. In today's reading, I'm going to set the background today because we have Prophet Jeremiah, and the background of today's reading involves an incredibly complex interaction of war and politics between Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, and the kingdom of Judah. So God calls Jeremiah to go to King Zedekiah and tell him this: "Thus says the Lord, he who stays in the city shall die by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence. But he who goes out to the Chaldeans shall live. He shall have his life as a prize of war and live." Well, the people in charge don't want to listen to God's word, so Jerusalem and Judah are destroyed. King Zedekiah's sons are executed in front of him. The king's eyes are gouged out, and he is taken into chains to Babylon. And thus begins the Babylonian exile in 587 BC.
So as we entered in this first reading, we must remember that Jeremiah literally just told the people that if they stay in the city, they will die. The princes thought he was aiding the enemy by demoralizing the people and the troops.
So I don't want to end this all on the bad note here. So what I really want to focus on today is the fact that while living and speaking for God, often it is difficult, but no situation is hopeless, and God's truth will prevail in the end. Now, we certainly need to realize and admit that living a Catholic life in our country today is difficult. It will cause division. You will meet resistance. It's common for worldly people to look upon God's people as enemies, and they will try and dehumanize and demonize anyone who disagrees with them.
But most people will not throw you in a cistern.
Not today, anyway.
Not today.
But we need to remember that no situation is hopeless. Much like Jeremiah is rescued from the cistern through the intercession of a Gentile, God is with you during your trials and sufferings. And, you know, when I think about sufferings today, sometimes I think about, well, maybe I'm suffering because of some sin I've committed or something like that. And I actually read something from St. Padre Pio recently. It says this. He writes, "Don't imagine that your sufferings have been inflicted on you in reparation for sins you committed, but consider that the Lord himself is afflicting you in order to adorn the diadem with the jewels he has decreed for you." And how beautiful that is to look at your sufferings that way. So let us realize that our suffering is really our path to perfection and a doorway to salvation. And so that we are able to find a very positive message out of the first reading. Well, in the second reading today, we read from the letter to the Hebrews.
Yes. The part that really stuck out to me is that Jesus is the leader and perfecter of faith. This really solidifies the idea that we are not the author of our own faith and salvation, and nothing that we can do will ultimately save us. Christ is the one who suffered on the cross so that we don't have to. What we need to do today is put faith in Christ and let him lead our lives.
Yes, but sometimes that leadership is a little annoying. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood. Our Lord calls us to pick up your cross and follow him, but, you know, the cross isn't necessarily fun. The point of shedding blood, that's not just physical, but sometimes that can also be spiritual. That could be mentally too. But always, suffering isn't just for suffering's sake, but rather to draw us back closer to him.
Yeah, and exactly. In Matthew 10, verse 22, Matthew writes, "You will be hated for my name's sake." And it is difficult to live as a Christian in today's life, but I think the Navarra Bible Study has a good comment about this. It says, "The author's example helps Christians put up with criticism from others and reminds them they should not be surprised if instead of success and joy, they encounter humiliation and hostility." So again, we have that great joy, but we should not and should not expect nor often receive very worldly praise for the work as a Christian, isn't it? Well, in our gospel today, we read from the gospel according to Luke from chapter 12.
"Do you think I have come to establish peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division." Wait a second. I thought Jesus is one of his titles as Prince of
Peace.
We
wanted family unity, didn't we?
Yeah. I thought we want unity, not division. Well, that's not necessarily what he means. He does mean division, but in its proper context. I'm going to paraphrase C.S. Lewis a little bit. He defines Christianity as the, quote, good virus. It infects you and it takes you entirely and it animates you. Division does not take place because Christianity hates family. No, far from it. I'm not, whatever, Dad, I'm a Christian. No, that's not necessarily true. But rather, it probably orders one's highest aim back to God, rather to the things of earth. So I will gladly disobey my earthly father if he somehow contradicts my heavenly father.
Right? And I hope I don't do that.
Yeah, but there might be time when I have to choose between the desires of one person in particular or of the Lord. Especially when, you know, as we age, we often are led to things we don't really want to do. I don't want to take my pills. I don't want that cane. No. I'm young, right? Not only in humble submission, but also in obedience to God. At least me, as a child of my own father, I am required to care for my own father, even if he may get a little annoyed by that.
Hopefully I'm still young in my mind anyway.
In the gospel for me, I was really struck by the word fire. It's kind of reminiscent of the flood where I was like, oh, is he about to send fire down on the entire earth? So I looked it up and fire is often used as a symbol. It's a symbol for God's presence and love, God's judgment on sinners, and divine purification.
I think really a summary of this gospel to me is everyone has to decide either for Christ or against Christ. And that's the division that Jesus talks about. And it does have eternal consequences. Ultimately, you either accept all the teachings of Christ in his church or you don't. And unfortunately, there's many Catholics today who pick and choose what they want to believe. Some may even be Catholic just because it's a societal club or some community aspect. But this will never bring true peace. True peace can only be found by completely following Christ and his church.
Amen.
You've been listening to Sunday Commentary with Kevin Doran and Carla Wehrman, produced at the studios of Mater Dei Radio. For more information about this show, go to materdeiradio.com. That's materdeiradio.com.